Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is behind the scenes of a YouTube creator and the diary of my life on the 13th of June, 2025. It's quarter to six, I think, roughly, in the morning. I woke up, I guess, about five-ish again. Julia is away at her mum's. So this week has been an interesting week because Julia hasn't been here. Well, I think this is the third day, the third morning that I've woken up and it's just me. Now, I don't want Julia, if she listens to this, to get the wrong idea, but I've always been an early morning riser. And when Julia is here, we sort of amalgamate because Julia isn't so much an early morning riser. She is a late night person. I tend to go to bed early in the evening, although I haven't done when Julia's been here. So you know what it's like. You have your own routine. You get together with somebody to live your life with somebody and you both compromise. So I do get up relatively early with Julia, but not as early as I have been, or I used to. And this week's been interesting because I've been getting up at five-ish, and I've just been sitting outside just now. In June, you can do this sort of thing. And the sky is blue, it's a very beautiful morning, and it's very quiet, there's nobody else around, and I love that. I may sneeze in a minute. I can feel the tickling. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Luckily, I have a hanky to hand. So excuse the ablutions. Yes, and it's very pleasant. So, and then of course the house is empty. The cat is still residing on the bed and hasn't come down to be begging to be fed. And it's been very nice. I've just done a few very gentle stretches. Simple exercises. You can hear that I'm yawning. And on these warm mornings, cool but warm, if you see what I mean, it's a very beautiful thing to do, to get up and potter just gently in the mornings. And pottering, I think, is just underrated. We have only really been a little blip of sophistication, haven't we, in this world. We think that we've been around living in these houses with electricity and telephones and television and all this sort of stuff and cars forever. But of course, it's only really been 100 years that those things have come in. And prior to that, we lived very different sort of lives. People did get up early. Of course, they got up with the seasons. They got up with the weather. They got up with the light just as they went to bed. And they did what they did. And it is amazing the achievements that people achieved in the past with very little technology. But one of the things that always, I dwell on from time to time is this business of time itself, that before clocks were so... before we organised our lives so much to the clock, and that we became quite sophisticated, if you can call it that. I think not so much sophisticated, but locked in. I became a prisoner of work in the way that people would clock in to work, that had to be at places, that we structure our lives in such a regimented fashion. And that pottering, that business of first thing in the morning, unless you are, of course, getting up, rushing off to somewhere to go to work, as many people do. And perhaps it's at the weekend or in the evenings that people do pottering. And that, of course, at night time when it's dark, And in the winter or the cooler months, it's not so easy. You're pottering. You may be wanting to get more nestified, cozy, you know, light the fire and hunker down, so to speak. Have your warming soup or your casserole or whatever it is, and stay in one room. And of course, that's the changing of the seasons, give you these changing rhythms and changing routines. That's what makes living in this material plane quite interesting. Only we've tried to obliterate all of that with our every day must be the same. Get up, go to work, come home, cook something to eat, sit in front of the telly. That is, you know, you might do that. And you may be subjected to that and you're too tired to do anything else. And that, of course, is a shame. And of course, people work naturally, but it maybe they work for themselves. They may be working by growing their own food. They may be off-grid and doing subsistence farming. Or, of course, they may be commuting to work for somebody else. And that's the great, I suppose that's, well, what would you call it? That's the great dichotomy of everybody, isn't it? We're all very different, doing something unique. But if you have got that chance in the mornings before everything else gets going, that little pottering, as I call it, the whether that's having time to sit and think and meditate, get your ducks in order, and then perhaps make yourself a cup of tea and or whatever, a hot drink or a glass of water. Or I at the moment I'm drinking milk in the mornings. I buy some raw milk, and I like to have a glass of raw milk and then sit and go into the quiet and meditate, cogitate, sometimes more deeply than others and sometimes very short time, just for a little bit. And other, you know, it depends on the opportunities, of course, and what you're doing. But I do like to sort of just have a glass of raw milk. And the reason I have raw milk in the mornings is, A, I believe that it's very healthy for you and it's full of good things, good friendly bacteria and what have you, good for the gut and all of that. But also, I buy 4 litres of it each week, and it needs to be drunk because it has a small shelf life. And so I buy it primarily to drink raw rather than just have it as an additive for teas and coffees. And I don't really have cereals anymore. I used to have cereals, a bowl of cereal and milk. I don't have any of those. Excuse me. Occasionally have porridge, and I like porridge, and I haven't had porridge, but in the summer months I don't feel I need it, and I eat very little during the day until the evening meal. But a glass of milk from here, you know, every now and again in the day, perhaps 1 or 2 glasses of milk a day, is very lovely, and it keeps you going. I might have some nuts and things. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm finding myself tuning back into when I'm on my own. And pottering, you know, and looking around the house, going, oh, I ought to just do this and I ought to do that, and you might do a little bit. And it's that first thing in the morning, if you've got the time not to be stressed. You wake up, it's beautiful. Sometimes go for a walk, perhaps, because there's nobody else about. If it's nice and warm and it's light and the sun is shining, I've often walked down to the seafront and had the sun coming up. And it's all, you know, it's all very beautiful and it's all very lovely. Of course, with I have all these things, The Naked Englishman and a video to produce. It's self-inflicted, of course. Again, I feel like I must do these at this time, because that's when the audience expect it. And if I don't do it, they'll be disappointed. I don't suppose for a moment that you're really disappointed if I don't do these things. And you probably aren't clamouring to listen or watch any of my stuff. You're watching it and listening to it as part of your daily routine at certain times when you do these things, just as I do with the content that I watch. But I don't suppose for a minute, do I clamour to watch? There's a couple of things I'm always thinking, oh yes, it'll be on roughly about now or whatever. But if it isn't, it doesn't matter. It isn't, of course, the end of the world, thank goodness, as they say. Now, I had another book. I had some lovely presents, by the way, yesterday. It's not my birthday or anything, but a lovely lady called Ethel sent me some waistcoats. And a few, there was about half a dozen, about six of them, I think, something like that. And they are very lovely waistcoats. And they were just, excuse me, two of them were absolutely good fits, but the rest were just on the slightly bigger size. One could get away with them under a jacket. But I gave one to Julia, who was off to her mother's yesterday, and said, because Julia's mum is a good seamstress, I said, is there any way that your mum could look at these to see if it's possible to have them pulled in? And she said, yeah, no, I'll do that. Anyway, her mum had a look at one and said, yes, I think I can do that. What we do need to do, though, is to have you here and measure you so that I can get the and pin up the thing so I know exactly how by how much to pull them in. Excuse me, blowing the hooter first thing in the morning. So that's going to happen when I next go down there. But I'll probably wear one of the waistcoats in today's video. So that would be nice. I had some nice gifts from a listener who had been smoking some tobacco and didn't like it. And he said, oh, I'll send you the remains of what I've got if you're interested. I said, I've given it a couple of bowls, but to be honest, I can't get on with it. So I said, oh, well, that's very generous. Anyway, it arrived, and in it was a couple of other items, which I will share on the next pipe smoking video. So that was very kind of him. And I've been asked to interview a lady called Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health, who is launching her book about the COVID period. A lot of people are sort of getting their books out about the COVID period. Interestingly, mine's not so much about that period, although it obviously has sparked off the COVID period, has sparked off a lot of people waking up, let's say. Mine is more about what we do in the future, not looking back and, what would you say, bemoaning the past or the response. But hers is from a medical point of view. I haven't had a chance to read it, so I don't really know what it's about. But I've been asked to interview her at her book launch. Anyway, it's a nice book. It's sort of a book that is properly published, a hardback. And there's a difference. Oh, no, mine's the same. It's actually the same. This is, that's interesting. 393 pages. I'm going to have to look to see how she's laid this out, actually, because mine isn't that many pages different. And that is a nice size. That is a nice size book. I'm just examining it from the physical properties. But what she does have is a dust cover. That's interesting, isn't it? So I must ask her if that was published by anyone or whether that was self-published. I'm just looking on the inside here. Thank you. It comes with its own little bookmark, which should be something to think about. First published in 2025. Just having a look here. Sorry about this. Printed by. So, I don't know whether she's just had them printed, you know, or it's not. Doesn't seem to be the name of a publisher on it. Tesla Books, you see, that suggests it's hers. But it is very beautifully produced. Now, what? Sorry about that going a bit quiet and what have you. So this is called A Game of Trust, Dr. Tess Laurie and the I Ching. And it says on the back here, just as yin and yang are complementary, so too are science and wisdom. With this book, which on the surface is an account of the steps leading to the formation of the World Council for Health and the Better Way movement, Dr. Tess Laurie sets out to illustrate this unrecognised fact. Game of Trusts is in fact a novel experiment that relates ancient I Ching wisdom to a distinct set of modern challenges occurring specifically in the year 2021, when corruption ruled the COVID roost, the truth unveiled, and the collective conscience rallied to set mankind free. And it comes with an ISBN number. So I'm, yes, sorry about that. I was just trying to get, it's very nicely produced, and I'd love to have my book in that way, rather than very often these self-publishing ones by Amazon and all of those are not so nice. But it comes with a, this is what I suppose it feels like a real book because it comes as a hardback, comes with a dust cover. Anyway, let's, I want to read a little bit to you before we go. So I've gone into chapter 2 just as a random chapter, and this is, says Preponderance of the Small. I don't think the book, I don't think the book is available quite yet. It will be available in a couple of weeks, and I've really got to read it, or to at least have some vague idea about what it's about. Preponderance of the Small Success. Perseverance furthers. Small things may be done, great things should not be done. The bird flying brings the message. It is not well to strive upwards. It is well to remain below. Great good fortune. Presumably that is from the I Ching. I don't really understand it, of course. The flying bird brings a message. Small things may be done, great things should not be done. Well, is that when you pick up that card and you've come up and say, should I make this big decision? And it's basically saying, no, no, you shouldn't. Anyway, let's read a bit. If a man occupies a position of authority for which he is by nature really inadequate, extraordinary prudence is necessary. Apparently, that is a judgment. What does it say down here? Hexagram 62, Preponderance of the Small, the judgment from I Ching by Richard Wilhelm, 3rd edition. Okay, so Richard Wilhelm, I think, translated the I Ching. Somebody sent me a copy of the I Ching, actually. I have got a, it's a book, and you kind of throw a dice or do something, and then you look up the answer. Anyway, whether I was up for the job was surplus to my decision-making process when I decided to join the fray. I felt responsible to help expose the truth.
Hang on.
Hey, I am bunged up with all this, whatever they're spraying in the skies, which is a real bugger, isn't it? Anyway, sorry. I felt responsible to help expose the truth, and ivermectin was the key that I had been given to do so. The weight of this responsibility was both a burden and the beginning of an unexpected adventure, demanding courage beyond my insecurities, such as the fear of public speaking, and a relentless dedication to the goal. Like a fledgling taking its first tentative flights, I knew I would need to start with small, deliberate steps, trusting that each effort would bring me closer to soaring. Shortly after the start of what would be a 13-month cycle, over our ivermectin advocacy efforts started to yield results, drawing media and political attention, while also prompting notable counteractions from those controlling the COVID-19 narrative. Merck, the multinational drug company that once owned the patent for ivermectin, was now developing novel competing COVID-19 drugs and responded with a statement on the February the 4th affirming its position against the use of ivermectin for COVID-19 indications. Merck claimed that its analysis of available studies found no meaningful evidence of clinical efficacy against COVID-19 and the concerning lack of safety data. Merck also reiterated that ivermectin was approved under its original brand name for treating specific parasite infections only. The Africa Centre of Disease Control, Africa CDC, followed suit, quoting Merck verbatim and advertising against the use of ivermectin for protection and treatment of COVID-19 because there is, in their words, no conclusive clinical data to support its safety and efficacy. In actuality, this statement was more applicable to the experiment yet authorised was more applicable to the experimental yet authorised COVID-19 drugs like remdesivir and experimental yet authorised vaccines, lacing the statement with irony. Thankfully, despite my Boris Johnson video being censored, other YouTubers, including members of the FLCCC, managed to re-upload it, which helped to increase its exposure and led to my first video interview on ivermectin. Among the interviewees were Canadian dentist and podcaster Dr. Jennifer Hibbard and South African lawyer and journalist Sabnam Palser Mohammed, host of the People's Voice podcast, both who would become friends and allies in efforts to counter the corrupt official narrative. So, you know, it's her journey to deal with the COVID-19 and then, of course, set up the World Council for Health. So it's about, 400 pages. So all very interesting, the whole journey. Anyway, I'm bunged up, like I'm going to go and blow my hooter now. But yeah, so that's an interesting job for me to do. Looking forward to that. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to my burbling. 24 minutes of hopefully something that's amused me. That's the thing, you know, are you listening to be just generally amused as it generally washes over you? Or are you looking for something specific from these recordings? Chances are you're not, because I don't really give anything other than every now and again a philosophical thought, of which I want to try and grab something for today's video, philosophical thought. And so I'll set my brain to that task. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you probably tomorrow. Till then, bye-bye.